Hey, everybody. You've reached the Mayfair Podcast. I'm Eric.
And this is Josh. It is Saturday, April 6th, 2024.
Yes, and we survived April Fool's Day, the holiday, which it's not, and the movie, which it is, and not the remake. We didn't watch that.
No. Nope.
2008, I'm pretty sure, which I believe was the same year as The Crazies remake, which was good.
Weird.
Yeah, it's apropos of nothing. I don't know. But I think it had Scout Taylor Compton, is that it, from the Halloween remake? Another remake?
That April Fool's movie was weird.
Yeah.
It was just, it's very interesting of its time.
Yeah.
Because it's, what, it's from the producer of the first few Friday the 13th. Yeah,
Frank Mancuso Jr., who I recognize, and I was like, didn't he do Friday the 13th, the series, the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
I probably should have remembered that he did the first, I think, at least four movies. But for some reason, I think of his name as on that show that had nothing to do with the franchise at all.
That show was so weird.
Canadian,
I remember a TV Guide ad and being like, wow, there's going to be a Jason Voorhees show. And I think it came out when I was a kid, like 10 or something. Yeah. And I can't even remember. Was it an X-Files-y kind of thing? Or is people going on supernatural adventures? Yeah, or?
They like run a shop, pretty much. Like a curiosity shop, I think. And then so every episode is about a different object, possibly cursed objects.
Did they have his mask or anything?
Ooh, that's a good question. They must have had something, like at least the first episode, you'd think. But I think it was like, I don't know. Because I think it was shot in Toronto, pretty sure.
I remember it being very Canadian. I think, yeah. I've seen it, but it's a blur because I haven't seen it in like 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's just like one of those ones that's not The Omen, The Legacy. What was the one that was like something, The Legacy, that was Poltergeist?
Poltergeist?
The Legacy? It might have been that. But it was one of those, it was another one where it was like, yeah, a TV show that was, I don't know, Canadian, very Canadian, and like probably involved an Aykroyd in some way or another. But yeah, no, I think it was a fun enough show for kids, Friday the 13th, that is. But if I was of the age that I'd been watching the movies already and then that came out, which I was not, but had I been, I'm sure I would have been just furious.
Yeah, or that would have been a great, at the time, with ratings and stuff, like a great sweeps week or a cliffhanger,
mm-hmm.
where our band of bookshop adventurers go to Crystal Lake. That'd be pretty cool.
There's honestly like a lot of cool, what's weird is like you could do a remake of that show and make it cool. Could you imagine if somehow rights weren't a thing, and
yeah,
or at least you could massage the rights, and it's like, oh, there's the Necronomicon, you know, here's you know, the Lamont configuration from Hellraiser or whatever.
We were watching the season premiere of Star Trek Discovery last night.
Oh yes, season 5, I believe.
And it's a puzzle box season, it seems like, where they're going on an adventure because of something they found in a puzzle box.
Dang.
And they're unlocking the puzzle box, and I was like, oh, the Cenobites are going to show up. Dang. On Star Trek.
Good thing we didn't have Emily on this one. She hasn't watched the first episode.
Oh,
yet.
Spoilers.
Yeah. She's aware of it and will watch. I think there's two episodes now. They might have done the 1-2 special back to back. What's hilarious, like, this all started while talking about April Fool's Day, and now we're talking about Star Trek.
That's how we roll.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. So, but there is like a quaintness to that early to mid 80s, even to late, you know, I guess entirely just 80s TV show mentality of these horror-ish, but almost more sci-fi.
Yeah.
And like, you can't be gory, you know.
And it wasn't an anthology, it had characters.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the old man ran the shop or something, and then it was like four of them, I think. And I don't even know, like, were they just clerks? Like,
God, just, I wonder, like, if that's on Tubi or Shout Factory or somewhere.
They did put out, I must have been a Blu-ray. They put out, like, sure a DVD, but they might have put it, I don't know, though. I mean, thinking about it, too, you're like, is there enough demand to remaster all of those episodes?
Is it one of those bizarre TV shows of that time where it ran for 2 seasons and there's, like, 80 episodes?
Oh, yeah. Like, there were multiple seasons, but yeah, I mean, I think I just never, like, cared enough to really look into it or watch. And I know, like, Emily would never watch. Like, I mean, it's not even, like, stuff like The Hitchhiker or whatever is a little more fun because, like, it was HBO and it was not strictly horror, but I mean, there'd be darker stuff in it. At least, you know, something like Freddy's Nightmares, he actually was in it, and it was horror stories set in Elm Street, I guess. But yeah, it's weird that they never pulled that out. I mean, they're doing a Jason show now, of course, but before that, it's kind of weird that they weren't able, like, maybe it's just a network constrictions type of thing or whatever, but like, it's funny they were never able to do that, even with FX or like HBO or Showtime, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you'd think it would not be that expensive to make a show like that.
Well, and with Freddy's Nightmares, I think some big talent actually worked on that too.
Yeah.
Kind of like with Tales from the Crypt. I think some cool horror movie directors worked on that.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there, was he the host? Was he like...
Yeah, I think so.
He was a crypt keeper.
Yeah.
But then I think there was actually a couple of episodes that were essentially Freddy mini movies,
for sure.
I think.
Yeah, the first two episodes is the prequel, basically.
Oh, wow.
And so it's like how he got killed, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it shows scenes of him being like well-meaning groundskeeper or something for the first 2 minutes or something like that. And then they burn him.
I was the heyday of the inappropriate merchandising of Freddy.
Yeah.
And I have a distinct memory of going into a Toys R Us, and there was a Freddy doll, like doll, on the shelf. Maybe one where you pulled a string and he said stuff.
Oh, God. I might not be making swears, that up. Probably, but...
No. But I remember him being everywhere, and there'd be like, he was in a Will Smith song, and
yeah.
And this is, on a sliding scale of fun monsters, he's a guy who was killed because they thought he was a child molester, and he killed teenagers.
And he was a child molester.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
Not, like, I mean, they thought that, but it was true, unlike the remake, where they kind of implied that he wasn't.
Tiptoed around that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, whatever, I'm not going to blame Jackie Earle Haley, we like, yeah. We like him, but it would have been hilarious if they had done, like, that toy you were talking about, but it was edited versions of the lines like it would be yeah. For like rap songs at the time, you know, so it'd be like, welcome to prime time, bud.
Yeah.
It would have been so much better.
And I remember as well, this was a couple years later, but sold in a corner store the horror movie trading cards.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Fright Flicks, I think it was called.
And they were full blown, although it was a still shot,
yeah,
full blown gore on them.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff.
Well, and even just scary monsters and stuff, like, I mean, which sounds like something a kid would say, but they were for kids.
Yeah, and I don't think, especially at the time, nowadays, I mean, because we are that, but the average person going into a comic store is a grown up.
Yeah.
It's sadly very, very few kids are. There's some who yeah. are walking in and buying a Scooby-Doo or Spider-Man or My Little Pony comic. It's few and far in between. And those horror movie trading cards, those were being sold to 10-year-olds.
Oh, for sure. And what's interesting is, like, well, I was in the comic shop the other day, which is not interesting, but there was, like, a kid in there with her dad, and she was trying to get into Magic the Gathering.
Oh.
And just kind of didn't know where to start. And the owner guy, I guess, was super great. Like, I mean, they had a specific magic guy. Unfortunately, not a magician, but I don't know. Maybe they call themselves that. I have no idea. But, and so he, like, walked her through it and, like, explained how stuff works and decks and all that stuff. I was sort of half paying attention because I was like, wow, that's cute, you know? But, I mean, I personally have no interest whatsoever, but I was like, that's really awesome that you can go in there. But yeah, like, it's a comic shop, quote unquote, but the amount, you know, you touched on it before, where it's like, there's HeroClix, there's figures, there's manga, whatever, you know? And so it's kind of funny, like, yeah, I see less children going in specifically for comics, but we are seeing children going in for offshoot stuff, which is kind of cool.
And manga. I think manga, and this is nothing new, this is decades old, but I think more kids are reading that than the traditional 22-page superhero comic.
Yeah, it's true. And I've been scolded before that apparently it's pronounced manga.
Manga.
But I'm like, I said manga for, I don't know how old I am, I don't know, for 35 years before someone corrected me. And then I was like, well, now I'm saying manga. Like, it just sounds, it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, I respect it, but I'm like, I'm going to slip up a couple of times. Plus, you're a comic creator, so it's like, who am I to be telling you?
I want.
I don't know how to tell you to say stuff.
Well, it's like Alan Moore. So I really love John Constantine.
Oh, yeah.
And Alan Moore, he's always such a curmudgeon. He can't just be happy.
No.
He says it's Constantine. John Constantine.
Is it Constantine?
And I'm like,
oh, I don't like that.
I've been saying John Constantine since I was in junior high.
I've never heard anyone say
now.
That. There's like, no way that's...
I've never met a real Constantine or Constantine. God. But my whole life I've said, well, not my whole life. For a long time, I've said John Constantine.
I don't like that.
I'm not going back, Alan Moore.
I worked with a Constantine, but he didn't spell it like that. So that doesn't really help our case here. But
yeah.
But I mean, you know, I mean, I've heard mispronunciations of stuff that was like totally not accurate. Like when that kid I went to camp with, I guess, it was calling Carnage Carnage.
Ooh, he's highbrow.
Yeah, well, he does sound classy, like a classy Carnage. Like, that could be a good character. He's got his wine and whatever, his snifter of whiskey or whatever.
Gwen will never let me live it down because we're both Star Wars fans. But I read some Expanded Universe Star Wars books.
Of course you did.
Before the prequels came out. And I don't know what I was doing, but I pronounced it Coruscant with a hard C.
Okay.
Coruscant. And then the prequel comes out and they say Coruscant.
Okay.
And I remember just sitting in my chair and being like, oh, man.
Yeah, no. Well, and it's a lot of stuff that was never said out loud.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, as a tie into that, I just recently got the 6-issue Shadows of the Empire comics.
Oh, those are so good.
Yeah, because I for sure had one or two when they came out, but I kind of forgot. And I mean, everybody knows the game, obviously. But like,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? That's kind of cool. And I bet, you know, I could get the whole set for not that much anymore because it's, you know, people don't care as much. It's funny because, like, I mean, obviously all the classic characters are in there, but there's also some like that, you know, there's like a dude named Big Jizz, or it could be Big Giz. It's G-I-Z-Z. Like, I don't know.
I took a dramatic pause.
I know. But I'm like, it's a comic. It's a kid's real. You can Google this. I'm not a monster, you know? So I'm just like, who thought that calling, you know, I'm going to say Big Giz because I'm not comfortable.
Yeah, let's stick with that.
But like, I'm like, who are these characters? And like, what? Also, so weird they never went back to them.
What like, about Dash Rendar?
And see, no, I liked him, you know?
Yep.
That one I remember. But I'm
he got a lot of flack because he was Shmon Shmolo.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like Dash Rendar. I like the ship.
It's true. Well, and like, I haven't read the comics yet, or I mean, as a adult or whatever. There's just something like, it's really easy to get drawn back into that, and because it's a perfect in-between for me. Because like, they came out when I was a kid, but it's also Star Wars, so that was like, you know, Star Wars is Star Wars. And now I'm like, I'm almost like scared to read them, like they're not going to be great.
It was a really neat experiment, where it was a novel, comic book miniseries, a soundtrack, the video game, and action figures. So it essentially was everything except a movie.
A novelization too, I'm assuming, or some kind of...
Well, yeah, not even a novelization per se, but the novel came out just on its own.
Okay.
It all came out at the same time.
It can't be a novelization if there isn't a movie, I guess.
Yeah, so it was like an original novel,
comics.
So yeah, it was just really neat that it was, at the time, it was like, this is the closest we're getting to a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And you got that weird illusion because you could go to the store and buy a Dash Rendar action figure.
Yeah, and I've heard that the comics are fairly different from the novel. They sort of explore stuff that maybe wasn't as much. From what I've heard, it's more like underworld based and like there's more bounty hunters and stuff like that.
And I don't think any of them have showed up in canon.
No, Big Giz didn't make the jump yet.
There's Prince Shizor, which
may
have shown up in canon, but I can't remember.
He was cool, and that's a fun name. I mean, I'm like, you stuck the landing on that one. Like, it's just, I don't know. Some of these, and I also too, like, I think we've talked about this before, but it's funny, like, when you're a kid and you're watching those movies, and there's all these characters that clearly aren't named.
Yeah.
And then you find out later their names, and I always thought, did he really have names for every single character of these, or was it like, oh no, this is popular now, we need to make these action figures. That's Boobob and Johnny.
I think a lot of it came from expanded universe of the comics and novels.
Yeah.
Or I think a couple times even the action figure, like Kenner, just slapped a name on it.
Just like a random name.
I think so. Well, if you look at the original line of action figures, it's Hammerhead.
Yak Face?
Walrus Man, Yak
Face. Or something like that. I think Yak Face was one. Is he really called Walrus Man?
Walrus Man is the action figure,
That's just nothing.
Like, because I'm an A-plus early Star Wars nerd, I know that Walrus Man's name is Ponda Baba.
Of course, that is a harder to remember name, I'm not going to lie.
So yeah, I think in the script, I think it said, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi cuts off Walrus Man's arm.
Yeah.
Or cuts off an alien's arm. It might not even be that specific.
Yeah. No, I mean, so it just makes you think of like a room full of people to this day coming up with wacky names for stuff.
Well, my favorite, I don't know what was going through my head when I was 4 or 5 years old, but we were at, probably not even like a Toys R Us, we were at Zeller's.
Okay.
And my dad, and at the time, inflation didn't work right, because at the time, I think an action figure was like $3, and that was the equivalent of $3, where now if you walk into a comic store, a 3.75-inch action figure is like $25.
Yeah, which doesn't make sense, and it's keeping me from getting a Doctor Doom action figure. Like,
yeah, and like, I don't think a dad can buy their kid that in the same way, you know?
Yeah, no, it's much better to get stuff that is not popular, like John Carter of Mars figures.
Yeah.
Like, we can afford those.
But I remember a wall, this was post Empire Strikes Back, and there was a wall of action figures. And I could have picked out Boba Fett, or IG-88, or Luke Skywalker.
Or Walrus Man.
Walrus Man.
Baba Gooey, I forgot his name.
I picked out the Gonk Droid.
But, I mean, and that's a cool figure.
But I like that. The mind of a kid. Like, why did I say, I need that Gonk Droid?
I want the garbage can figure.
Versus Boba Fett. But I made that choice. I stuck with it.
Yeah, and the Boba Fett is probably worth quite a bit.
Oh my god. Imagine. Probably. It was probably like the one with the missile that flew out that poked a kid's eye out.
Easily. And I'm sure, much like my parents, probably yours weren't, you knew not to ask for the Jabba the Hutt or the you know, the skiff ship or whatever.
But do you ever stumble on, especially now, the internet is the worst, But what I like on internet is kind of retro stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that, where it's just somebody, and their whole Twitter feed could just be scans of Toys R Us flyers.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. And I saw one recently, and it was not even Optimus Prime, but like some giant Transformer. The guy that turned into a city.
Oh, man. Who the hell is that?
And it was like $60.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was $60 in 1985? Because nowadays, that would be, in Toys R Us, that would be $300.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I don't know. I don't understand the pricing of things. And like, they just re-released for, I think, the first time, a lot of the Masters of the Universe sets. Yeah. As you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so those ones are like, I mean, the pricing isn't bad, but you're also like, is this, well, I don't know. For me, I was like, okay, I don't really need this. But at the same time,
I remember buying 95-cent superhero comics. Man. Which makes me feel like 1,000 years old.
Well, you know.
But the inflation went fast. Yeah. And then when I was in high school, I think Image Comics, when they came out, were $1.99.
Yeah.
And then now, if you're lucky, and this is U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
It's $3.99.
And when I got thrown out by that, when I got back into comics, because the price is not what it says on the cover.
Oh, it's
and I'm
evil.
Like, why? I don't understand. I sort of get it now, but I'm still annoyed because I don't know what things will come to.
Yeah.
Like, I take two comics to the front and they just tell me a price and I'm like, guess so. And then I look at the receipt after and it's like a normal comic is $6.49.
Oh, it's the worst.
Basically.
And I'm so expensive.
Yeah. And then there was one where it was like a Ghost Rider. This just came out. Ghost Rider Final Vengeance. Issue one, and it's like, I don't know how I fell into this, but it was like a bad guy called The Hood, who I don't know and you probably do, becomes Ghost Rider, and he's a bad guy, and now he's the Ghost Rider. It's like, oh no, what's it gonna be like now that it's a bad guy, he's a Ghost Rider? I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. But there was a specific, I don't know, one of whatever the hell variant.
Yeah.
And it was like a white chromium or something cool, and it was a cool cover, and I didn't think they would get it because it was kind of exclusive, but they did, but there was no price on it. And so I looked on the back and it said, I'm pretty sure it was like $3.99, $4.99, and I was like, oh, that's weird, like that's actually pretty cheap for an exclusive cover, but whatever. I get a couple of things, it comes to more than you think, and then I leave and it was $14.99.
See, that's not cool, because that should have at least been in a bag and a board with a $14.99 sticker,
like,
on it.
You can put a little, like, a little circle dot, you know, yeah, that says whatever, or like, or maybe, I don't know, like, and I really, like, I went back and forth on it, because I was like, I don't really want to go back, but the worst of it is, the punch in the mouth aspect of it is, right now, they're running a 50% off ratio variant sale, and they still have one left, so ooh, I could have made $7.50.
Yeah.
Which still might feel like a lot, but I mean, it's white chromium, you know? Anyway, but I'm like, okay, I supported an independent comic shop, blah, 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 whatever, you know? Because I mean, the risk that you run, the other thing too is like, I do a lot of pre-orders with them. I don't get a discount on that. So, I mean, I could, in theory, I could get from other places and pay the shipping, or I could wait till it comes out and go down. But I mean, it's taking that risk that it's not going to be there,
yeah,
you know, or it is or it isn't. So I don't know. It does make me mindful. I had no idea. Like, there was no price listed. I knew it wouldn't be $4.99, but I was like, really? It's like five times the price.
Don't get us started on the Minnie Mouse Dazzler cover is a spoof of a X-Men cover,
yeah,
that is inexplicably stuck onto a Spider-Man comic.
Yeah, there's a...
I hate that.
There's,
I don't understand.
Well, here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of these Disney, I guess, spoof covers is all you can call them. But,
yeah,
like, I've seen at least four or five of them, and they're just, I don't know, maybe not cool for me to say, but they fill me with rage. Like, I'm like, if people are loving those, if kids are loving those, awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. It just looks weird.
It's the mixing and matching that gets me the most. If it was at least a Mickey dressed as Spider-Man,
yeah,
on the cover of a Spider-Man comic.
Or Ben Reilly, even. We'll take,
yeah,
that.
Something. But it's just that. It's that weird thing where you're like, oh, I'm buying a special X-Men comic. And you open it up and it's Spider-Man. That's,
yeah,
so weird to me.
No, I've had a few. The ones that are, I kind of get, they did Alex Ross ones where it was just specifically a character on the front. And I mean, maybe one or two of them were accurate as to what the comic was, but most of them were just whatever.
Oh, really? You would assume that they would just be like, Venom's on a Spider-Man cover and things on an FF cover.
Weirdly, Venom was on a Venom cover. So that,
okay,
that almost weirded me out at that point. But anyways, I got like a Doctor Doom one, and I think it was Avengers.
Weird. So,
and I got a Carnage one, I think, and it was Captain Marvel. No offense to Captain Marvel. I don't really care about Captain Marvel. Like,
has Carnage even met Captain Marvel?
I don't know. Not in that issue, I'll tell you that. But
and that would be it. Yeah, if Carnage was fighting Captain Marvel in that issue.
Yeah.
Oh,
it would have been cool. So it's, I kind of just, for those ones, when they were on sale, it was like, they were $3 a piece or something like that. And I just got ones that I liked.
Yeah.
Because I like Alex Ross. I like cool art, you know?
But we could complain about this for 10 episodes.
I know. And to get this back to April Fool's Day.
Oh my God. Yeah,
this has nothing to do with April Fool's Day. So I can't. But I did get the Fog comic, which is a movie. So yes. I was able to bring that
I up. Will say, April Fool's Day, what I found so interesting about it was how, there was a couple scary scenes.
Yeah.
But how tame it was,
mm-hmm.
and not to make this sound like it's a complaint, but in comparison to the gratuitous nudity of movies of that time with a bunch of teenagers running around a cottage, there was none of that.
Yeah.
So it seems like they were really going for like that, geez, was there 14 at the time? But that the lower rating to get the teenagers to come in, the under 18 year olds to come in.
Yeah, because PG-13 didn't exist at the time. Like,
was that PG then? No, it was probably still R.
Yeah, because like, I don't know. That was a weird one because like it didn't have a lot. I mean, I don't want to spoil the ending for someone who hasn't seen a 40 year old movie, whatever it is. But like, it's not gory. Yeah, kind of for a reason. And like, so I guess the guy who produced it, the Friday 13th guy, specifically wanted to do something different. And wasn't just trying to make a slash or whatever, you know. But because of the lack of, I mean, not even nudity. I don't think there was any.
There was not. No.
Yeah. So like, and swearing, I don't even think there was like basically nothing. And so because of that, it got picked up heavily on late night cable, which kind of made it this, you know, cult hit might be an overstatement, but this cult classic. Kind of similar to Christine, actually. That one did get an R rating, but specifically only because of the language that they added to get an R rating. Because it is not gory. I also think there's no nudity in that one, which is great because we took my niece and I don't know. It's like watching Titanic with my mom where I'm like, ooh, a topless scene. Ooh.
It's so funny you mentioned that. We came to see Poor Things.
Okay.
And American Fiction. So I have done all 10 Oscar movies.
Well, Scott will be so impressed. It's not two of his classics.
And I gotta say that this year, there's some movies I like more than others, but out of the 10 they picked, there's not one that I was upset about.
Okay.
Like American Crash, where I thought that movie was terrible.
Have you watched all 10 now?
All 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and all of them, there's some that I wouldn't have put on the list, but there's none that I was like, that's a terrible movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that you, like, paced yourself so you didn't do, like Zone of Interest. I hope you did a fun one afterwards or something.
Yeah,
like
I can't remember, but this one we saw on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. We saw Poor Things and then American Fiction. But Poor Things is one that I always joke about that whether you're a teenager or I can only speak for myself in your 40s.
As a teenager at heart.
There's some movies you don't want to be sitting beside your mom.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so Gwen went into Poor Things not knowing anything except for it was acclaimed and Emma Stone was in it. That's all she knew.
And the Hulk as well.
And the Hulk. And no spoilies, but it is near porn.
Oh, what?
Yeah. It has many, many sex scenes in it.
Oh, Lord.
And you get to see everything.
You sound like you are a 12-year-old.
I know.
They showed everything.
But I just imagine if I had been like, oh, I'll go see this Oscar-type movie with my mom.
Oh, man.
Thinking it was, you know, Maestro.
Oh, God. Wait, so how many older types, and not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Have been coming to this movie because it's Mayfair, 6 p.m.?
Many.
Because I was like, I kind of think I know where you're going with this.
So, very good. I, like, straight up loved it.
Having said all that,
on top of all the sex scenes, straight up loved it.
There seemed to be a movie happening too, but
it cost $35 million and looks like it cost $150 million.
Okay.
So compliment all around. Emma Stone was great. Mark Ruffalo was laugh out loud, slapstick funny in every scene. He plays a sex crazed bad guy kind of who steals her away from her fiance.
Oh, God.
But he's hilarious. Like, he's dumb guy funny. Coen Brothers-esque kind of through the whole thing.
Slapstick and gets slapped as well.
Yes, yes. But this is nothing new. I think I've talked about this before. I should go back and see if there's examples in the 40s and the 50s about this.
Yeah.
But I think ones I know are stuff like Midnight Cowboy, Pulp Fiction. There's always movies that people go to and they go, oh, because it won an Oscar. And Christy was saying that she clocked a number of walkouts. And I think I've only worked one shift for it, but 8 people walked out. But I think because they look at the poster and they maybe think it's kind of a nice Shakespearean period piece kind of thing or something.
Well, and Emma Stone was in like The Favorite and stuff.
Yeah. So great movie, but I always think that's funny that you go back decades and there's always movies that are someone would deem offensive
yeah.
that still get Oscar nominations. That's the one this year. Poor Things, for sure.
Well, but then as we sort of touched on before, like Yorgos Lanthimos, I'm going to say. I think I almost got it right that time.
That's close.
His stuff is weird. Like, and has sex and has, you know, random violence at times and stuff. And it's like, it's so particular. I don't know if I've loved any of his stuff, but I get it. And it's kind of how probably a lot of people feel about Wes Anderson, where I'm like,
yeah,
he's got his style, he's got his thing, and it's like wacky and totally different than most directors make. But I 100% see why that wouldn't be for everyone, you know?
Oh, yeah. But I think it's funny that people just don't do any research. I do that sometimes, but
yeah,
I'll watch anything. So.
To be fair, though, I mean, I don't know if I've seen the full trailer, but I've seen a few trailers that have no indication of that. Like, you know, there's maybe one brief second of kind of a, like, sexy implication, as I should have been the name of the movie.
Meanwhile, I've got my fan out, and
you're like, oh my,
dropping my drink on the ground.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, you didn't watch this with Gwen's mother or your mother.
No, no. Okay, but every time I see a movie as such, that's what I think about.
Yeah,
because I think back when I was in, how old was I? 10, 11. My mom rented Risky Business.
Okay.
Because you look at the trailer for Risky Business. Oh, he's having fun. He's having a party.
Yeah, yeah. He's got
dancing around
on
in his underwear. And for a portion of the movie, it's totally fine.
Yeah.
And then it hits R-rated level. And I just remember my mom doing the old putting a hand over my eye kind of thing.
Oh, jeez.
But I think the video store days were much more apt for that, of by mistake renting a movie that you think is a regular buddy cop movie and ends up being some bloodbath.
Yeah, or the opposite of that, you know, when you're trying to sneak a movie and you're like, oh, this one looks crazy. And then you get it and it's like a 2-hour Bringing Out the Dead or something like that. And you're like,
Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, there's not really a lot scandalous happening here, but fine.
Okay, so let us mention the movie screening the week of Friday, April 12th. We're both doing this a little early, and we've had a good run past 4 or 5 weeks of getting ahead of the game.
True.
But often we will wait till Monday to finalize stuff. So we know a few things coming up, but we don't know our full schedule for the 12th. But we'll chat about what we know, and then you can always just go online and find stuff if you're actually listening to this to find out showtimes.
And let me tell you what a tease it is that it's Friday the 12th.
I can't believe it's Friday the 12th.
Are you kidding me? Like, at least be the 11th or the 14th. You're killing me.
Yeah. And that happens over and over again, it seems.
No, but we are getting close. Is it September that it's...
It's in the fall or September, yeah.
We're getting close. Like, I mean, every month we get a little closer. So don't worry, we're bringing on whatever episode we're on anymore.
So this week we do have, on Saturday the 13th, a Saturday night cinema.
Which could be a Friday the 13th. It won't be a Friday.
It won't be. We can play those for real.
I know. Like, it's, I think some people wonder, you know, like, because I mean, I think this is the one playing after Dawn of the Dead, I believe.
Should be, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, I guarantee there's going to be a handful of people that are like, maybe it'll be Day of the Dead. But I'm like,
it doesn't make any sense.
He's not going to do that. Come on. That would
might be some wild, old, weird zombie movie you've never heard of before. Or...
Yeah, I always wonder if he'll take the bait of picking something that would be a good, you know, I try to do that. I did the one after They Live, and I was like, what's a tie-in with They Live? And then I was like, I'm overthinking this. I'm just going to do whatever I was going to do anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah, cinema is our free for members, members only secret late movie presentation.
And you should do Dawn of the Dead and cinema, because that will be awesome.
Yeah, and so this screening of Dawn of the Dead, it's so funny. I laugh a bit how fives and zeros are really important, but it's never like the 41st anniversary.
Well, there's a five.
Well, so
it's
this
the 45.
This one is really specific. This one is 45th anniversary of its American premiere in Pittsburgh. And I guess they say that because technically there was some European, like, film fest screenings the year before.
Yeah, I think it played at Cannes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the... It's so tough with movies, too, because it plays at a couple film fests, but then gets a release 6 months later. So is that a 2023 movie or a 2024 movie?
Well, and also with this one, it was a different cut. The Cannes cut is longer.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dawn of the Dead doesn't have 8 different cuts. It's like Blade Runner. It's...
Well, yeah. The Argento cut's 94 minutes, and the preferred version, the quote-unquote director's cut, but not really, is 127 minutes.
Yeah, so I think we're screening the 2-hour-ish.
2 hours, 7 minutes. That's the classic one. It's the kind of movie where, I mean, there is a crazy sort of almost fan edit version that's sort of official now, the Mall Hours cut, which is almost 3 hours. And that's just literally every piece of footage. And it's one of those things that you watch it once, because you gotta watch it once, but then you're like, to be honest, I don't know what my favorite cut is of this. Like, at this point, I'm just like, fine, the director's cut, anything is good with this movie, but it's cool to have the option of seeing different cuts of stuff.
And this one is neat, because I swear, if I'm not remembering incorrectly, this is the first time since 2009 that a distributor has sent us t-shirts.
Yeah. Do you know what it was for 2009?
No, I mean, I don't think it's ever happened.
Oh, I see.
Like,
oh,
we took over in 2009.
Like, I thought you were like, not since they sent us, I don't know what came out in 2009.
No, I think this
April
is the first
Fool's
time.
Day remake shirts.
And you said they're like super limited edition.
Yeah, 350
which is extra fun.
Worldwide.
Oh, snap.
They say.
So yeah, I love Dawn of the Dead. One of the greatest moments of my life is walking around that Dawn of the Dead mall. If you're a nerd and you love horror movies, just go do that. You can just do that.
Go to Monroeville.
Yep. And they have really cool festivals. The graveyard's not too far away. Mm. You can go to the original Night of the Living Dead graveyard.
That's sweet. Yeah, all that. Like, I've never done it, but I've always kind of... I've heard Pittsburgh's a cool town, just in general.
It is, yeah. And they really embrace their love of Dawn of the Dead. Like, if you walk around that mall and ask any questions to, like, a security officer, they'll be like, oh, yeah, this is where that happened. This is where that happened. So,
it's got to be a daily thing. Like,
oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Did they have any... you went around the town to, I'm assuming. Like, did they have any, like, murals, like Romero or Savini murals or anything like that?
You could probably answer that, because I kind of was there for a film screening at a Comic-Con nerd fest.
Of course.
Of a movie I worked on. So I was kind of around there for the most part. But I know Lee has gone around and, you know, some of these movies are old, so a lot of the locations aren't there.
Yeah.
But driving to the graveyard, you feel like you're in the opening credits of Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like the trees look the same and the graveyard is the same.
Yeah.
I just hope nerds are respectful when they go to a graveyard. I think we are, because they could easily lock down that graveyard and say, no, you can only come in if you're visiting.
I wonder how many horror fans try to get buried there.
Oh, wow.
Like, I hadn't thought about that before.
Like, it's a pretty old graveyard.
It probably is, but I mean, you would...
I didn't
that must
think
be a premium.
That.
Like, there's, could you imagine they could raffle off like a grave or something like that? People are crazy, you know. So it's like they must. You'd want that, right? Like Lee would love that. You would think.
God, that might have happened. Now I got to look that up. I wonder if anybody in the past 50 years, has been buried there purposefully because they're a fan.
I'm assuming Romero is not buried there, but.
Well, he kind of became Canadian in the twilight years of
his
life.
That's true. Yeah, he loved Toronto.
Yeah, so he might be buried here.
Fun. All these Lee questions.
Lee would know all these answers.
That's all right. We'll find out eventually. We'll be like, remember 3 weeks ago when we loosely asked a question?
Then our Ottawa premiere this week is a documentary called Enter the Clones of Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
This is fascinating. I know about this just because I've seen a couple of these movies over the years, but the long and short of it is after Bruce Lee died, they kept making movies with other people kind of named Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
With stage names. And it was like Bruce L.I.
Yeah, yeah. It was basically Bruce Lie is pretty much all of them in a way because
and then
it was
stuff
a lie.
Where, is it two movies? At least one where they basically used what they could of a handful of footage found on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, because like Game of Death 2.
Yeah.
I don't think he finished. I believe what happened was like they shot a bunch of stuff for Game of Death. Then they had leftover material, but maybe only like half an hour or something like that.
Yeah,
and then
there's
a few different versions of it. I'm pretty sure they cut together something and like shot it with a bunch of randos and like just, I've heard it's not cohesive, weirdly enough, but.
So that's what this is about. It's fascinating. Even if you're not a fan of martial arts films.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that they horribly, after he passed away, just kept going.
Yeah, and it's funny too because I really thought that, because there's a movie called The Clones of Bruce Lee, I believe, and this is called
Enter the Clones of Bruce.
That's it. So when I first saw that we were playing this and I lost my mind, I thought we were playing like a 4K transfer of that one obscure movie. And I was like, why did they put so much money into this and a full poster and all this? And then I saw the trailer here and I was like, oh,
that's
this makes
what it is.
Way more sense.
So then I'll just quickly mention we have two rentals. One is a local batch of short films called 12 Tales.
Mm.
And then one is our friends Company of Fools are doing their semi-annual, twice-annual Mamma Mia sing-along. By the time you listen to this, I wouldn't be surprised if it sold out.
Yeah.
They put on a great show right up there with like a Rocky Horror type thing. And it's sing-along and costumes and prizes.
It's like less sexual than the Rocky stuff. Probably.
Slightly? A little, maybe?
A little bit. I gave my brother the swag hat from their previous thing.
Oh, cool.
Because it looks like him, the jester.
Oh, yeah.
Guy,
That's funny.
I don't know if he agreed, but several other people, I mean, it's just true. It looks like him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's the movies we know about screening this week. There will likely be two more newer type films.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything. We might hold over Poor Things and American Fiction again.
The sexually charged Poor Things.
Or, you know, there's always movies circling. So, but if you look at our coming soon, we do know some stuff coming up in the next few weeks.
I'm going to speculate that we're getting the premiere of the new Nicolas Cage film, Arcadian.
Oh my God, can you imagine if we missed talking about that?
Yeah, I mean,
we'll talk about it next week if that
happens. We're clearly not getting it, but like, we don't know we're not getting it.
Maybe.
Just saying. So it could be anything.
But we have Remembering Gene Wilder coming up, a documentary,
yeah.
And then more Romero and Savini movies.
The Maniac coming up.
Le Samurai, which you were really excited about.
Yeah, I forgot again, and now I remembered. Man, yeah, there's some pretty sweet stuff coming, and I feel like there's always some sort of little mini-fest on the horizon. Maybe even you know about it, but Lee's, you know, I feel like he's always got these weird little, like, ideas in his mind.
Yeah. And then it's like someone could die. And then that's what happened with Norman Jewison.
Yeah.
And then we screened four of his movies. So
yeah.
I don't want anyone to die.
Someone will die, let's be honest. Like, I mean, you say someone could. I mean, they will. But we just hope that it's someone where we can tie it into film somehow.
And they're really old. And then it's okay.
Ideally. Yeah, because I mean, yeah, when someone, Anton Yelchin or something, I just feel bad about that.
Yeah.
So, but my friend was reading Odd Thomas.
Yeah.
So she was reading that. And I was like, oh, hey, they made a movie about that with Anton Yelchin. And she was like, who? She's like 25 or something that. And I was like, oh, man, I was like, you know, the guy from Green Room. She's like, what? And I was like, well.
Star Trek? What's a Star Trek?
Yeah, no, I was just like, I think we're done here.
Okay, so we're going to wrap things up because we're multitasking. There's a movie screening and I think it ends pretty soon and I got to go turn that off.
But yeah, I got to go to Train Yards and get a frame for my Nicolas Cage poster.
Yeah.
Like every week.
So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find out information and the mystery of the other two movies screening this week at mayfairtheater.ca and on all the social medias. And we'll be back next week, maybe with more information on what's actually playing or maybe not.
Yeah, that's more the fun of it is not knowing, right?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Now off to eBay to see if I can get that big Giz figure I've always wanted.
In 1968, George Romero brought us Night of the Living Dead. It became the classic horror film of its time. Now, George Romero brings us the most intensely shocking motion picture experience for all times. Dawn of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead has ended. Dawn of the Dead is here.
Get in the room!
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
They must be destroyed on sight.
When there is no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth. Dawn of the Dead.